Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the new Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and the Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org. Click Find a Church.
These men belonged to Al-Qaeda, a group of extremists who have distorted and defiled Islam, one of the world's great religions.
To risk 100,000 American lives, and then that's not going to be enough, so you put in another 30,000, then another 30,000. Before long, you're fighting Vietnam all over again.
We've had 46 million Americans who could be here since Roe v. Wade who are not voting. And I think that, in a sense, is a holocaust. I really do.
Whereas before I was like, do not give me a lecture on how to live my life when I know I'm a pretty decent human being. They go, I'm a good Christian and I go to church and this is the way you should live your life. But I now have faith in those who say they represent a faith.
Wow, I finally met someone who practices but doesn't preach.
Most people my age, if you're of my age, middle age, I barely know how to take a picture with their cell phone, much less send it to someone else, but young people certainly do know how to do it. The pictures that they're sending on their cell phones, online, via other new kinds of media, might not only surprise you, it might shock you. Some of it is harmless kind of stuff, taking pictures of themselves, driving in cars, doing what teenagers do. Some of it is pornographic. There's no two ways about it. They call it sexting. Everybody's heard the term by now. And there's a new Associated Press MTV survey about sexting. Interesting things here. If you're a teenager, one quarter of teenagers have been involved either receiving or sending these pornographic pictures of themselves or someone else. If you're a young adult, that number goes up to one third of them have been involved in it. And the half that think it's a serious problem still do it, and the other half do think it is a serious problem, but half of them don't think it's a real serious problem. That is teenagers in America. We're going to begin this hour of Issues Etc. talking with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about sexting. We'll discuss this new Associated Press MTV survey. Then we'll discuss the real Saint Nicholas. Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. We'll wrap up today's program playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, our regular feature on Friday afternoons. Our call-in number live this Friday, December the 4th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is a regular guest, founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. Jen, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
How do you explain this, that a quarter of teenagers have been involved in sexting, a third of young adults, and that half of them don't think it's a problem at all?
Well, you know, I kind of explain it this way. I don't know if you ever heard this, that on D-Day, when they were getting the young men, you know, 19, 20-year-old young guys ready to go over and hit the beach at Normandy, they told the guys, you know, two-thirds of you guys are not going to make it. And so all these men stood there, and they looked to their left, and they looked to their right, and they thought, you poor bastards, about the guys around them, you know. So I think this is an application of that general principle, that young people think they're invincible, and that nothing really bad can happen to them. And if there's the slightest possibility that doing what they want will turn out the way they want, then they're going to go with it, you know. And I think it's unrealistic to think that teenagers are going to be able to think probabilistically in this area when we know that they don't in any other area of their lives, you know. Unless the bad effect is instant, then they're not really willing to make the connection in terms of how they behave.
Well, you know, that's the old problem of teenage invincibility, indestructibility as well.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's another aspect to it. Entertain me for a moment if you don't mind. And that is kind of the flip side of that. You know, these soldiers standing there looking to the right and the left saying, you're not going to make it. You won't come home alive. Maybe some of them are saying, and that's me. And in the little time I have left, I'm going to live it up.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the kids, the sexting kids, have that type of attitude. But I do think they don't. It's not real to them. That they can harm themselves. You know, they're saying, quote, they think it's a serious problem. But I don't think they realize what it would be like to actually be embarrassed by this type of photos. You know, in other words, they're not projecting themselves into the kind of adult role where they would be embarrassed about. They're not picturing themselves at a job interview in a tie and wearing a jacket where they have prepared themselves for this job and it really means a lot to them. And what would their employer think if somebody, you know, showed them this message that they sent out 2 years ago? That I think is the thing that they can't project into the future. So I think that the live it up, I might as well live it up. That is what's in their mind, Todd. I think that's what's in their mind, and I think they since we've lost the sort of natural reticence around sexuality and the natural shame about exposing the body. You know, you're supposed to not want to expose your body to other people. You know, you're supposed to have some discretion or modesty about it. That I think there's a certain element of you know, where that's normal. But we've talked kids out of that so much that now kids have this kind of exhibitionist streak about them. You know, it's also normal to have people want to pay attention to you. You know, I want everybody to notice me. Look, notice me, pay attention to me. And so if you don't have that natural sexual reticence and natural modesty in place, then the show-off takes over. And I think that's what's happening to a lot of the kids, frankly.
How do you explain that more girls have admitted to sexting than boys?
That's a very interesting question, isn't it? Do you have the statistics at hand there?
Is that
what they say?
They're saying that girls are more likely than boys, in a general sense, to send pictures of themselves. Boys tend to think this is just dandy. All they say in the AP story is that girls are more likely to send pictures of themselves.
Well, I suppose, you know, maybe it's because they know their audience. Each of the boys and girls both know their audience. I mean, a naked picture of a girl is, shall we say, more of a calling card than a naked picture of a boy is, you know, because men are more visual. And so if you're trying to, you know, arouse interest or arouse whatever, a naked picture of a girl is going to be more likely to have an effect, whereas sending a, you know, an immodest picture of a boy, that doesn't really do it for girls that much, you know. So that's the best I can come up with as an explanation, that they think there's some kind of reward for them in terms of the attention that it will generate from their boyfriends. Now, I think the larger issue here, though, is the issue of why do girls feel it's necessary to send naked pictures of themselves to their boyfriends? You know, what are they competing against? What's the general competitive terrain out there that's making a girl feel like this would be a good idea, you know, to send a naked picture of yourself to your boyfriend or somebody you're trying to impress? Well, it may very well be that the overall level of sexual stimulus is so high that if you want to get noticed, you got to do something that's really out there, that's really outrageous, because probably a lot of these guys are getting pornography over their iPhones and things like that, you know, or they're looking at pornography on the internet and that kind of stuff. And so what that tends to do, that skews male-female relationships in a lot of very peculiar ways, because, you know, the men have this very exaggerated image of what a woman's supposed to look like, and you know the average girl can't compete with that, obviously. So it distorts the relationships in a number of different ways. And I think, you know, your listeners, our listeners, people who have had their sexuality formed prior to internet pornography, I think we can't really realize what pornography is doing to young people these days, because, you know, when we were growing up, pornography meant a Playboy magazine or something in a brown paper bag or something like that, which meant that most of us grew up with an environment that was reasonably non-sexual. We weren't being overly sexually stimulated all the time. But people who are coming of age now, it's very unusual for them to get through high school without being bombarded with pornography, and not just in the sort of outdoor media, so to speak. But if you start getting into internet pornography and that kind of thing, guys spend many hours indulging themselves in internet pornography. If your sexuality is shaped and formed in your developmental years around those kind of images and that kind of intensity, that's going to make it very hard for you to have actual relationships with real people. And so I think that's an element of what we're seeing here with these girls thinking this is a cool thing to do. I'm not sure that's necessarily completely a reflection just on the girls.
With only 30 seconds, what would be your best advice to parents talking to their kids about sexting? About 30 seconds.
Boy, that's a tough one. You have to talk to ask them, would you want me to see this email that you're about to send out? Would you want your older brother to see it? Would you want your grandma and grandpa to see this email that you're about to send out? And if you picture your grandpa reading this email or looking at this email, if you would not be happy with that, then you probably shouldn't be sending it.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities. She's author of the books Love and Economics and Smart Sex. You'll find a link to the Ruth Institute under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen. Go to the on-demand page and look for Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse and the Ruth Institute. Thanks, Jen.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be talking with Pastor Heath Curtis. On the 6th of December, the church remembers the real St. Nicholas. His story is interesting. There's a lot of legend attached there, of course, but his story is interesting, and the church still does observe this day dedicated to St. Nicholas. He was more than just a guy walking around in a pointing hat. Certainly bears little resemblance to his pop culture icon, but we'll see what he's all about. On the other side of the break, Pastor Heath Curtis will be our guest. Then it'll be time for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Stay tuned.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muscoda, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muscoda, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
No Sonatocrats allowed. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the on-demand page and click Share This.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.